Hi, this is Gary U.S. Bonds, and you're listening to The Many Shades of Green on BeatboxRadio.com.
Beatbox Radio.
Hi, I'm Maxine Margot Rubin, and this is The Many Shades of Green, our program that explores environmental and social issues that reflect the greening of our communities. There are many variations or shades of environmental consciousness which affect what actions we take to protect the planet. Everyone has a shade of green that connects them to the natural earth. Our guest this week on The Many Shades of Green is Eva Ratke, founder and president of Film Biz Recycling, which diverts set materials from film, television, and theater and reuses, recycles, redistributes, and repurposes those items to help reduce pollution, create jobs, and aid the local economy and communities. FilmBiz operates a retail store, prop shop, and creative reuse center, which has diverted over 450 tons of New York City waste from landfills. 60% of donated props and materials from productions are redistributed to local arts organizations and charities. The phrase, "not in a dumpster," is the mantra for FilmBiz Recycling, and the zero waste policy further ensures that no donated materials go to waste. Eva is one of the most boots to the ground people I know, and I am proud to have her as a friend of the show. So welcome to the Many Shades of Green. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be back and see you guys.
I'm so happy you're here. I'm glad we're seeing you. So FilmBiz Recycling is quite a wonderful organization, and So can you just tell me what the initiatives have been in the past year in 2014, and what's been most successful, and what might be on the horizon coming up?
Well, what's on the horizon is the most exciting thing. So I'm just teaming up with a new organization who are taking non-violent ex-convicts and putting them to work. And so we put our heads together, and so we're going to develop a reuse and upcycling program to teach people to take something that's, and it's, there's a metaphor to it as well.
Okay.
To take something that's broken and needs some love, to how to fix, strip, reupholster, and make something that's broken and making it new again for revenue and all that sort of stuff. Too. So that's our newest thing we're embarking on right now.
You mean fixing things?
Yeah, upcycling, like taking, you know, we get in all kinds of stuff that needs a little love. Like
right.
it's the rip, the caning is coming apart, or it needs some reupholstery. It's a little bit dirty. And so all you need some sanding, it needs some new color, a new finish.
Right.
And it's taking something that needs some love and upcycling to something that is more saleable and adding value to something that would be $5. Well, all of a sudden you have a $50-$60 chair that can generate revenue for these ladies and gentlemen.
Right, right. That's locally Brooklyn or anywhere?
Just in Brooklyn. So this, okay. We're just embarking on this. So this is going to be something that we do in 2015. We're going to start small and with, you know, one or two people, and then hopefully scale it to have it be, you know, its own little mini factory.
Wow, that'll be on the site itself?
It'll be on site, and we have a brand, so we'll brand our FilmBiz logo on the bottom of it, so it'll be a FilmBiz original.
Wow, that's a great idea.
I'm so excited.
And something that's so important, in the community to get people back on the streets.
Absolutely.
And feeling good about themselves.
Well, you know, and I personally feel so many people are incarcerated for so many ridiculous reasons that I think that this is nothing that I'm afraid of.
Well,
or anything like this is something where I'm like, you know what, it was ridiculous, let's get you going.
Highest incarceration rates in the world is right here
in
America.
It makes money. You know what I mean? To generate revenue for
private
a lot
prisons.
Of rich people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Private prisons.
Ash the Bush family. We don't have to go there right now, though, do we?
I don't know. You get me started now. You're in big, big, big trouble. So you have that program going on. And was there anything in this past year that, you know, you can just tell us about that was really something awesome?
Well, I have to say what was really super awesome was being recognized by the EPA for our efforts.
Okay.
I mean, there's just no, like, I'm the first person to not recognize how awesome FilmBiz Recycling is.
Uh-huh.
When the EPA, you know, says, hey, we're going to give you this award, you know, there's no getting around that. So I was really touched. I was brought to tears. I was like, wow, this is great. Like,
how did that happen? I mean, what were they looking at? How did they find you?
It's really, you know, it's funny because the mayor of Buffalo also won an award as well. And he learned, he's like, oh yeah, we applied many many times. And I was like, oh, you applied? They just sent me a letter. Well, apparently they had read about me in a magazine or something like that, or just the director had read about FIMBAs and then did some research and then vetted me, little did I know. And then I just get a letter in the mail.
I mean, you were super NSA vetted. We are only, you know, halfway vetted by the NSA.
Well, we were when I was in the White House blog, you're super vetted too. I was really worried because I wrote a nasty note to the IRS when I was 23 with a bounce check, and, you know, like, it was just terrible. They needed my last $300. I just moved to New York, and they're like, well, you were a waitress, and now you owe us $300. And then I wrote F you in the memo, and then it came back because it bounced with my last name circled in red felt tip and like 25 numbers after. Great.
You're in trouble,
enemies
baby.
Enemies of the president list. Great. Way to go. But that made it. I made it through. I think they were just trying to scare me.
I know. They probably have pictures of me protesting when I was in, like, high school in Coney Island at the recruiting center there. And I'm like,
obviously a bigger fish to fry.
Well, they're always watching you.
Some angry 23-year-old,
Yeah, I know. We're you know, kind of the ones they're looking out for. So that's pretty amazing. So each year, in the last couple of years, I've attended something called the Golden Dumpster Awards in New York City, which gathers a lot of people from the industry. And how did that start? What's the criteria for you picking those who you feel are doing really great green things? And how did that all begin?
Well, Margot, it's good to be the queen. It is. I really, it's people that I think are doing really awesome stuff. I mean, I collect sort of information on what people are doing. I put it into a folder. When it's time for them, you know, I just talk with my staff and I'm like, wow, you know, this person has been collecting toys for tots for 5 years and they've energized, you know, this entire union and that sort of stuff. So people within the industry, but it's also like tonnage. So we look at our metrics for the year. And so, you know, last year, NBC Universal won for the most TV tons that were brought in. So the TV show Smash donated everything. It was like 10 point something tons.
Wow.
And we honor them. We give them an award. And the producers are doing great things. You know, it's really to get together and celebrate. It's tongue in cheek. I mean, the entertainment industry loves an award ceremony, don't they? And so the Golden Dumpster Awards is a little bit of a
goofy thing.
It is. It's a little poke.
Right.
But at the same time, we throw a really good party. I think, you know, celebrating is a really good way to bring to light that good is good and we should continue to do so. And everybody wants a Golden Dumpster Award. And we make our own, so they're all different. And
you make your own?
We do, yeah.
From what?
Well, like, for instance,
From stuff they donate? That would be really funny.
It is. Stuff that we just bring in. So we'll get, sure, like, we'll get some wood, we'll cut it into blocks, and then we'll get, like, a fake fish and a movie reel, and we'll, you know, staple them together or glue them together and then spray paint them gold and then have one of our friends make little plaques for them on their, you know, their little machine. So, you know, and it's original and it's wonderful.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we've gone to a couple. And so what are there any couple of, can you name some, like, movies and films this past year that were, you know, very green that you can give a little shout out to?
Well, The Amazing Spider-Man 2 did a tremendous job. I mean, now they have a video on YouTube you should definitely check out, but they diverted like over 600 tons. That includes recycling and food and compost and stuff not used whatsoever, like no water bottles, and they just did a tremendous job. And Emily from, who I think you've had on the show before,
Earth Angels,
did that. You know, it's happening more and more and more. That's one that really, really stands out to me. That was tremendous. That was the most sustainable, like, big blockbuster in history.
I know I've asked you before about L.A., because the film industry, are they taking note of this at all out there? Because that's the film capital of the world, basically. And there's a lot of waste out there, and now they're having droughts and fires and
Well, two things about LA. One thing is that their tax incentive program is not as robust as New York, so we're stealing a lot of their work.
Yay!
You know,
good for us.
I mean, we should. You know, this is the tax incentives work. But LA, also the studios, there's a little bit of an advantage because there's more space. And the studios do take their assets back in and sort of recycle them into their other movies and stuff. That doesn't mean that there's not a lot of waste, though. Mm-hmm. But yes, the studios themselves, like in Warner Brothers, has some solar panels. And there is one company out there that I met this last year in 2014, that does what I wish we had the space to do, which is actually taking in the construction.
Really?
Because, you know, and so and it's really like, I call him, I was like, I am in love with you. I don't know who you are or what you do, but what you're doing is exactly what needs to be happening here. So there's my yang is out in LA.
Okay.
And so if we can get them
bring them in.
And if a film is in LA, and then it's called Hollywood Sets or something. I'm sorry, it's escaping me right now because I'm on the radio. Would be really fantastic. But that would be space. And that would be something we would need upstate or something.
Yeah, you'd need a little more room. I said Buffalo. I don't know. Maybe Buffalo when it's sunny, not
just upstate.
Snowing.
Just a big warehouse.
And there's plenty of upstate land. Yeah. I'm sure they'd love, you know. Well, film industry. I mean, and a lot of industries. There seems to be a lack of ethics in probably every industry. And sustainable practices, though, they're starting to occur in more places now, which is a good thing. Corporations, a lot of them are, you know, thinking that this is something that's going to help save money, and it's also going to make us look a little better. Maybe we're doing something good. So do you see a rise in that within the context of the film and theater and TV industries? Do you see the networks having a green guru, you know, a green sustainable department? I mean, how is that in your eyes working out right now?
So there is an uptick. I mean, from 5 years ago, there's an uptick from what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And more of them are even being conscious about it, whether they have a sustainability manager on staff or not.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the studios do have their own best practices. A lot of them have little divisions, you know, environmental and social responsibility divisions. Could they be bigger? Yes. Could they be more powerful? Yes. Could they be more funded? Yes. But they're there and they're in place. Some of them don't, and we're not naming names, but that's what I'm here for. I'm happy to consult with them and get that going for them.
Right.
But it is happening more. Now, I compare it to this. You know, they don't always brag about it, and I wish they did. I wish every single time they did something sustainable that they would put out a big press release.
Yeah.
But it's like Levi's jeans. It's 10% organic cotton, 90% conventionally grown. And why don't they advertise that? Because people like you and me would be like, well, what about the other 90%?
Exactly.
So they're like, they can't, you know, if they make Spidey green, what about all the other 150 films that you produced that year? So little by little, and there are people on the inside at corporate that want this to happen. It has to make it into the budgets, and I think it's going to do nothing but accelerate. And we're going to be there on the forefront.
Yeah, we need to push them. I mean, they need to be, I mean, they already are starting, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, to get them to move is a whole other way. You know,
And I'm hoping the Golden Dumpster Awards, you know, will encourage them, you know, to do that too, and other recognitions as well.
Recognitions, they like that, because that they would put press releases out for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got a Golden Dumpster, we got a EPA, or, you know, whatever. That they'll see as something,
and
you
I'd
know.
Also like to see our celebrities actually stepping up too, and like, you know, they are claiming to be environmentally minded, but are they even checking, like, on the sets that they're standing on? Do they even know if those sets are FSC certified wood or not? That's something I'd like to see. I'd like to see eco script doctors come in and go, you know what, Michael Bay, that explosion is really going to be a lot of emissions. Can we figure something out in post or whatever?
Eco script supervisors?
That's sort of my dream position. That's something that I would like to do as well, to have someone go through scripts, and for people who, like, you know, I want to work in a film, I want to work in an environmentally conscious and social film. So we'll go through there and like, for instance, Leonardo DiCaprio's movie, The Beach.
Uh-huh.
Well, they didn't look beachy enough for them, so they brought in basically invasive species and ripped up
invasive species.
Huge palm trees that were not local, that were not from that area, tore up root systems to make it more like the beach that they had imagined. The government let them do it. This did not happen in the United States, and no one questioned it, you know. And so this is the deal where the celebrities themselves who say, who have children and who care about the future of us and our planet, need to step up and use the power of their contracts to make a difference.
Yeah, we definitely need to step that up. And I'm going to ask Mark Ruffalo that if I ever get him in the studio. So that would be cool. He's an anti-fracking guy. Don't laugh. He's the Hulk.
No,
he's green.
I know.
Uh-oh. That's trouble. All right. We'll stop that right here. And we're going to take a quick break to be part of the conversation with Eva Ratke of Film Biz Recycling. Tweet us your thoughts at TM Shades of Green. And we'll be back after a quick break.
Hi, I'm Tammy from I Will a Remedy. We make all natural body care products with purpose. They relieve, restore, and invigorate your body, inside and out. Handcrafted right here in Brooklyn. You're listening to The Many Shades of Green on BeBoxRadio.com.
And we're back with Eva Ratke, founder and president of Film Biz Recycling. And recycling, that's part of the name, Film Biz. They're doing sets, they're doing things, but what can individuals do? I mean, walking around the city on a windy day, you see plastic bags that'll end up in the waterways and effectively kill birds and other species, and we need to stop plastic bags from just taking over the earth at this point. And I know there's initiatives, you know, now in, I mean, California passed a bag initiative that you have to pay for bags and banning them as well. I mean, plastic bags were banned, and there's areas in New York and in Westchester, there's towns. So what is your take on that? And
I think it's a great idea. I think charging or banning them altogether is a really great idea. What I wish people would do is get involved. And also, when people see a plastic bag on the street, when I see a plastic bag on the street, I pick it up. And I collect probably on my walk to work about 10 per day. I wish everybody would do that. Feels like, I didn't do it, so it's not my problem. It is your problem. Be the example. Be the change that you want to see.
Right.
I mean, if all 8 million of us picked up plastic bags as we saw them down the street and just, you know, put them in, took them to get recycled or did what you need to with them, then, you know, maybe this problem would be a lot, lot less.
I know that they say people, you know, trying to change behavior is something that's really difficult.
Well, litter should be shamed. Littering should be absolutely shamed. If you're like, that's not okay. This is my neighborhood, you know, and don't do that. Like, that is your responsibility. And now you're making me do it. Like, it should feel cruddy to throw something down and leave something behind that's potentially dangerous to our environment, you know? And also, you know, our lovely over in Park Slope and Gowanus, Brad Lander, is starting this initiative and bringing it to the city council, but 10 cents per bag.
Right.
And on Twitter, it's the hashtag BagItNYC. And just to, you know, really make you, like, really pay attention and really be aware that this is our city and we need to take care of it in ourselves.
Well, people have to use reusable bags, and that's key, because then they say that the tax is not fair for certain, you know, lower income. It'll, you know, have a negative effect if they have to pay 20 cents for two plastic bags. But then how do we should get simultaneously, you know, you can use reusable bags. They're not expensive. You can use, you know, get them in stores. You can go to Film Biz and get some, you know.
We have tons of them.
You know, and there's places where people can go. And if we can sort of put that together and get people to, you know, be proactive in using bags, and then they don't have to worry about the 10 cents. But I agree. I mean, in Washington, D.C., that happened to me. I went in a store, and that was the first time I was asked, you know, I didn't know. I was visiting my son. There's a charge for the bag if you want a bag. And everyone in that store locals were carrying reusable bags.
Right.
And I went, boom, you know, and we're trying to do it in my town, but now apparently they're doing it in Hastings in Westchester, and this huge food corporation, which is tied in with the plastic industry, had filed a lawsuit against them, and they want to do that in every town to sue them and tie it up for years, because the towns can't spend $2 million to defend it. That's how they're doing it. Grassroots is trying to help, and now they're quashing it.
Right. Well, that's, again, it's, you know, corporate interest in the plastic industry, and it's also the oil industry. And so, yeah, we just have to do it ourselves. It just take education, and you have to be the model.
Right.
You know, and these, some of these bags are really cool and pretty. Like, make them awesome.
Or you can have kids make a bag. You know, bring it to schools and say, you know, this is your, you know, first day project. Make a bag.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so, I mean, I think that things will, like, become in vogue. And the more people see it, the more people do it. You know, and those little things like the tax against the poor. Well, you know, so is lottery tickets. You know what I mean? Like, there's it's just something we're going to have to suffer through. I will give you a free one. Maybe we can. I even thought there could be a kiosk right there in the grocery store where you could, like, borrow one and bring it back. Or it's $1. If you bring them back, then you get $1 back. Like, so it can be free for you. You pay for that dollar, but if you bring it back, you get your dollar back, or something like that. I mean, there are answers. Yeah. I mean, just because it might mean every problem is just another opportunity in hiding.
Well, the thing is to get through the deniers, you know, and that's, and opportunities are important to create, but it's hard to sort of create them sometimes in an atmosphere where everyone's trying, where they're trying to push you down. I mean, that's the difficult part.
It's true, but you just have to persevere. I mean, you know, there are people who wish that film based recycling did not exist because I'm just holding up a mirror to a big bad industry that I love, you know.
Right.
So, you know, so you kick up a little dust, you know.
Yeah, but you're kicking dust, I'm kicking dust. Where how do we get everyone else to kick dust?
Well, it has to affect them personally. They have to understand how it affects them and their pocketbook and how, you know, I mean, you know what everybody has in common, or I would say most people have in common, 99.9, they love their children. You know,
okay.
we love our families. You know, we love where we live. We're loyal to our baseball teams. We're loyal to our towns. You know, make it about you.
Make it about you. It's a good slogan.
This is about you. You know, people say save the planet. I'm like, no. The planet will be just fine when we wipe ourselves out.
It's us
we're saving, guys.
Yeah, they don't think that way. You know, you say, you know, we need trees. Well, trees give off, you know, oxygen. So it's for you. It's not just for the tree.
And that's science.
You know,
that doesn't always make it down. That doesn't trickle down.
Science?
Mm-hmm.
Is there such a thing?
Not if you're in the GOP.
Really? Still? Well, we just got kind of butt kicked in the recent midterm elections, and a lot of people were walking around sad for a day, and then they weren't walking around sad the day after that. So the lowest voter turnout, we got to get environmental issues, you know, to the forefront, and it's not going to happen if people don't engage. So now we're going to be coming upon 2016. So what do you think in the next 2 years? Do you think we're going to get people, you know, out there saying, yeah, we got to get the, you know, the base going, and we, you know, it's all about the base. It's all about the base.
You're funny.
No treble, but it's more trouble. The bass and treble harder than the bass and treble, you know.
The trouble with trebles. So nerdy.
Yeah, well, anyway, so.
What was the question?
The bass. I mean, how are we going to motivate people over the next 2 years? And you think there's some light at the end of that tunnel?
I actually really do. I feel, here's what I really think. I think that the conservatives and the GOPers are going to get really cocky the next 2 years and think they have it in the bag. And they don't have a really good... They don't have a candidate that no one wanted them. They're going to recycle the same people, maybe Jeb, or maybe, I don't really know. And I think that because, yeah, nobody showed up, but they're going to show up for 2016. And then they're going to have their rear ends handed to them. I'm actually really confident about that. I feel like in the next 2 years in environmental issues, people are more and more aware, like, yeah, actually, this is right. Like, you know what? My farm was destroyed. You know, I live in Florida. You know, blue state. I just got switched. Yeah. A red state, you know, but like that's in danger. You know, it's dangerous to live in Florida with, you know, with
the
climate change.
It's
property and that's insurance and that's all that sort of stuff. So I feel like climate change is going to start making people look sillier and sillier.
Well, there's, you know, in terms of risk and in terms of investment, in terms of, you know, why is there not more solar? Why is there, I mean, it's such a small fraction because those who are empowering the oil people are just every possible drop that they can get. And every time they can, you know, frack and Swiss cheese the earth, you know, they're going to do it because money is dangling at the end and there's no thought about what they're leaving behind and who they're hurting. I mean... it's got to change. I mean, they're seeing climate changing in front of their eyes.
Well, absolutely. You know, and the price of oil, at least in November, was down to like $75 a barrel.
Right.
So if you look at the stocks in like SolarCity, which is Elon Musk's solar company, that's up and up and up. So I think if you watch the business markets, I mean, these guys know that this is real. They really do. I mean, insurance companies use the science of climate change to raise their rates, and they're also huge campaign contributors. So if you really just stop with the noise that all these, you know, talking heads are saying, and look at what the business people, they just want to monetize it and keep the money to themselves.
Right.
So everyone, not everyone, most people know that it's absolutely happening, but they're just trying to tamper it down until they figure out how they can keep all of that in their coffers and they can still control energy, whether it's renewable or not.
Well, it's not going to be, the sun is free, but according to them, it's not going to be free. They're still going to tag, you know, costs and taxes and everything you can imagine.
So I mean, let the market decide. I mean, I'm all for that. I really am, you know. But solar energy, you're going to have to fix them. They're going to break down. There's going to be job creation from that. You know, there's a lot of roofs out there.
Yes, a lot of roofs. And some of them can be green roofs, which would be even more great.
That would be super groovy.
You know, get those green roofs going. But New York is starting to do that more and more, which is really a great thing.
You have to have the weight of all that dirt and everything. You know, so some roofs are appropriate for it and some of them aren't. And to actually make it profitable, I think it needs to be somewhere like over 50,000 square feet for that to be something where somebody can make a living, like a farmer, like a roof farmer or something like that.
Right.
But just to have some nice grass green is wonderful too. But that, so it has to be sound, in the good integrity on the roof so it can handle all that weight and water too.
Well, and it also gets the architects involved, and we're building more jobs in all areas. I mean, you're going to need scientists, you're going to need people putting it in, you're going to need people fixing it, you're going to need people deciding if the weight load is there, if the sun is going to be in the southern, you know, you have to have a southern exposure, you know, instead of northern exposure, southern exposure, but it's all really, really something.
It can
something
happen. It's just not that hard.
Yeah, that can happen. We're going to try to see and make it happen. So, what aside from the new program that's coming up with getting people to help you make things that are better, you know, improve, fixing things up with those who are incarcerated, is there any other particular thing happening in for 2015?
You know, I'm just going to keep on keeping on. I'm reaching out to more studios. I'm educating more people. But I do like to start small. I feel like if I'm going to take this new program that we're doing, I'm going to take that, make it work, and concentrate on that. I don't like to spread myself too thin. And I can build on that. I can take one more project a la carte. But I want to do this, and I want to do it right.
One thing at a time.
Yeah, one thing at a time.
And those studios better pony up, because I don't want to see filmmakers go anywhere but up, not down. That's all I can say. It's too good of a thing. It's got to stay. You know, it's got to stay.
A lot of people feel the way you do. I don't think we're going to go anywhere. We're just going to have to keep on fighting.
Good. So keep on fighting. We got to do that grassroots and keep things going. So thank you. You're amazing, and we'll get you back next year to see where this is all going. I'd love to find out. Okay.
You mean this year?
This year.
Yeah, I know. You're still writing your checks. You're still writing 250 on your checks, right?
Yeah, 2015. Yeah, that's a place. Yes, it did arrive, and there was no apocalypse. Woohoo! At least I think so. So anyway, so thank you so much, and we'll have you back to get more info. Where can people get more info?
FilmersRecycling.org.
Cool. All right. Awesome. Thank you. So we've been talking with Eva Radke, founder and president of Film Biz Recycling. She is a steward of the earth and is a champion of sustainability, helping to divert waste from television and film sets and reusing and redistributing props and materials to those in need. I'm looking forward to riding on the Cyclone in Coney with Eva one day, because she's a roller coaster person like me, and maybe trading jokes that she might have told in her stand-up days doing comedy in high school. Want to hear some of those jokes? Eva is truly a force of nature, and the planet is a cleaner, greener place because of her efforts. So thanks for joining us for the Many Shades of Green, our program about environmental sustainability, culture, the arts, and community. Listen to the show on your laptop, tablet, desktop, or smartphone. Visit us on Facebook, send us a tweet at TM Shades of Green, and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. A big thank you to Abba Carmichael, my co-producer, and Brian Harwitz, my sound engineer, and Michael Kohlberg, my research assistant, for helping get the show out each week. I'm Maxi Margot Rubin, reminding you to pick your shade of green and raise your eco-consciousness, and we will see you again next time.
You're listening to BeeboxRadio.com.
Saxophone already.